You look at your program, you will see that Brother Walter Hrejcik was scheduled to service at this time. And as already was announced yesterday, he'll not be with us due to the heart attack that he's had due to the illness there. And so we wish him well, and we'll miss him and Sister Wanda and Brother Walter's service here. But we've prevailed upon Brother Alan McAllister to serve us in his stead. And I'm sure that he doesn't need any introduction. He is well known to us, and he has ministered to us on many occasions from the Word of God, and we look forward on this occasion too to be blessed of the Lord through his ministry. So Brother Alan has selected as his topic the world's judgment, Resurrection Day. Perhaps you've sort of guessed what it would be by the hymn that we had sung in opening. Brother Alan, may the Lord bless your service to us this day.
Thank you, Brother Leonard, and good morning, dear friends. Sister Evelyn and I are certainly very happy to be with you. In fact, the Western New York Bible students who are in attendance here at the convention also, we have the whole class here. I think that perhaps would be the first. But we're happy and rejoicing in the messages that we have heard yesterday. Certainly, the four discourses were very appropriate, and we pray that we may receive and take the thoughts that have been presented to heart. Perhaps as we have maybe talked to a co-worker or our neighbors or listened to a radio or whatever, We've heard about the Judgment Day. The nominal Christian church system would usually present a vision of Christ sitting on a great white throne, having all come before them, saint and sinner, to be a judgment pronounced upon them. Those from what they would say from the depths of hell, this place of eternal torment, to review and hear his past, and of course the saints from the heavens to hear their judgment and see and hear the judgment of the others. And of course, all of this taking place in a 24-hour period of time. And there are those who sincerely believe that this is what the Bible teaches. But what does the Bible really teach? In the Old Testament, we have the words of David, Psalms 96:13, that relates to the period of time in which we now live. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Now, you recall the theme text of the convention, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now, this is the judgment that the psalmist brings to our attention. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth, and associated with him, of course, is his bride. And this is the theme that has been selected for this convention. If we are faithful, if we overcome, we will be granted to sit with him in his throne. Well, you say, the context is speaking of our Heavenly Father. We recognize that this is the work of His Son, and we can turn to the second Psalm, verse 6. Second Psalm, verse 6, where it says, "Yet have I, Jehovah, set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." Yes. We believe that in 1874, our risen Lord returned to this earth as a king. He has come, Brother Lorenz.
I think so.
He posed that question yesterday. Has the Lord really come? Yes. Yes. And His first kingly act was to exercise His kingly power to raise the sleeping saints. And this, we believe, happened in the year 1878. The judgment day for the angels, which kept not their first estate, began. The Gentile kingdoms still had until 1914, before the Gentile times would end. However, it would take a forcible eviction to oust them from the church nation dominion they had. Now, history has recorded this dramatic eviction, which began in August of 1914 with the beginning of World War I. By 1918, the kings had had their day. These were the ten-toed church nation governments, represented by the ten toes of the great, of that great statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about, and Daniel interpreted only by the help of a vision from God, a judgment of all the nations of this world has been going on since, even to this very day. September 1, 1991. And of course, the world does not recognize this. They are witnessing a time of trouble that has not occurred since the beginning of mankind. A time of trouble so great that our Lord has said that if these days were not shortened, there would be no flesh left on this panel, on this planet. We had this scripture given and related to us a little bit yesterday. Knowledgeable people of this world see these things happening, just as our Lord predicted, as recorded in Luke, the 21st chapter, the 26th verse, Luke 21:26. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. The margin reads, inhabited earth. The things that are coming upon this inhabited earth. Then in the 28th verse, our Lord speaking to His disciples and to the faithful throughout the age said, "But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your deliverance is drawing near." We are 77 years closer to the complete deliverance of the church than were the brethren who were alive in 1914. The signs today are at a critical stage. Never before has Luke 21:26 had so much meaning as in our lifetime. Some here today witnessed the events of the 1914 period. more of us witnessed the depression of the 30s and the events of the Second World War. All of us have been witnessing the events of present and recent events. Unprecedented events that have happened. All the earth is being devoured. The destructive feature. The judging of the nations, I believe, is just about complete. The sign for the world, the people of the beginning of their individual judgment will be when the final battle against Israel takes place and God fights for Israel as when he fought for them in the days of battle. We believe that by this time the church, the bride and the bridegroom will be complete on the spirit plane, and the great multitude will have been resurrected also to the spirit plane to be before the throne. The faithful ones spoken of by the Apostle Paul in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now we call them the ancient worthies. They will also be on the scene, resurrected as perfect men and women. Israel will certainly take notice of these. We have never seen a perfect man, a perfect human being. Only those who lived at the time of Jesus and who were privileged to see our Lord ever saw a perfect man. They recognized our Lord as a leader. Some thought that he was a rabble-rouser. Others recognized his superior qualities. The apostles, they didn't hesitate to follow him when he called to them. Imagine that John the Baptist, one of the ancient worthies, that he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And of course, then he said at another occasion shortly after that, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Our Lord had multitudes following him. Some, of course, for the loaves and the fishes, but others because here was a man that spoke as no other man spoke. The world recognizes, has always recognized, and appreciates a leader. Israel will be the first to recognize and acknowledge these perfect ancient worthies. Of course, all in Israel, not all in Israel will recognize these ancient worthies, but there will be a sufficient number. The great mediatorial work of the millennial age will commence. The reign of righteousness will begin, to the Jew first. Much to learn. It is going to take time to educate the nation of Israel. It won't happen overnight. We see today the Orthodox Jews in Israel are a minority. The Jews that belong to the Zionist movement are in a minority. The majority are in complete unbelief of God's promises to the Jew. But with the ancient worthies in control and under the spiritual heavenly direction of the Christ, progress will be made. They will all have to recognize him whom they pierced. They will all have to recognize him as their Messiah. A project of education and management will begin that has been without precedence. Blessings such as the world has never seen will be upon Israel. Zechariah, the 8th chapter, verses 20 to 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it will yet be that peoples will come, even the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one will go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. So many peoples and mighty nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every language will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. The deliverance and completion of the church class and the great multitude to the spiritual condition is the key to the start of the judgment day for the people of this world, for the people that live on this planet. Now, let's turn to the prophecy of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, the third chapter, verses 8 and 9 of the third chapter of Zephaniah. Now, Zephaniah is covering the whole millennial age in these two verses, from 1874 to 2874. I'm going to use the Leiser translation here. 8th verse, therefore, wait but for me, saith the Lord, for the day that I rise up to the prey, for my judgment cometh to gather the nations, for me to assemble the kingdoms, to pour over them my indignation, all the fierceness of my anger, for through the fire of my jealousy shall all the earth be devoured. Yea, then will I change unto the people a pure language, that they may all call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. Now, my Leiser translation has a footnote regarding this 9th verse. Let's see, Leiser puts in a translation by a scholar named Zuns. Yea, then will I transform for the people their lip into a pure one. The New American Standard Bible reads, for then I will give to the people's purified lips. So how are the lips transformed? By gaining a knowledge of the plan of God, by walking up that highway of holiness. Isaiah 35, 8 and 9. There shall be a highway and a way, and the holy way shall it be called. No unclean one shall pass over it, but it shall be only theirs. The wayfaring man and those unacquainted therewith shall not go astray. No lion shall be there. Found a thought, you may recall it from page 217 of the first volume 1 of Studies in the Scriptures. And I quote, "How many frightful lions are now in the way of those who would be glad to forsake sinful ways and to pursue righteousness?" An example is given of the lion of a degenerate public sentiment. Now today we call this peer pressure. Also mentioned is the lion of temptation to strong drink. Isaiah continues, "And no ravenous beasts shall go up thereon." No giant corporations organized to advance selfish and individual interests at the expense of the general good will be tolerated. How about today in the tobacco companies, the Tobacco Institute, or the liquor manufacturers? They also have an organization. I don't know what their name is. And then the prophet says that these shall not be found there, but shall walk the redeemed. In a 1913 Tower article, this is reprint 5238, the second column, the third paragraph, 5238, Brother Russell gives us a very realistic thought concerning the very early beginning days of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. And I quote, "The awakening of the world will probably not begin for 50 or 100 years after the kingdom has been established. During that time, however, the resurrection process, the raising up gradually, will be in operation amongst the nations then living. As gradually nations, peoples, kindreds, and tongues are awakened, they must be brought to a knowledge of the truth and must give the assent." Now, assent means approval and agreement. They must give assent of their wills before any resurrection processes begin to operate in them. This work will continue all down through the 1,000 years of Messiah's reign. We note that the pastor wrote of the resurrection process, the raising up gradually will be in operation amongst the nations then living. This is what the prophet Zephaniah is saying. He is speaking of the beginning of this mediatorial work, the work beginning first with the nation of Israel, with those people who are alive, living in Israel, those who have survived the last phase of Jacob's trouble. We have seen the hand of the Lord in preventing Jacob, or Israel, from being driven into the Mediterranean and destroyed at the time of their reestablishment as a nation in 1948, just one day after Israel's independence was declared. The neighboring Arab nations launched a bitter war against Israel, taking half of the city of Jerusalem, and for 19 years a massive concrete wall topped with barbed wire divided the city of Jerusalem. Then in 1967, Jordan again joined other Arab nations, other Arab countries, in an all-out assault against Israel, and what happened. Israel defeated them in 6 days. 6 days. And they retook Jerusalem in the process. And, of course, they gave credit to their superior military expertise. So who do you suppose really helped them with their expertise? And again in this year, 1991, who really prevented them from becoming involved with Iraq and other Arab nations in spite of the blatant provocations against them to retaliate? We have no doubt whatsoever that our returned Lord had full control over these matters. There will be a final spasm of trouble, we believe, which will end Jacob's trouble. And we'd like to take a moment to turn to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verses 4 to 7. Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verses 4 to 7. Now these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now and see if a male can give birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? And why have all the faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great. There is none like it. And it is the time of Jacob's distress, Jacob's trouble. But he will be saved from it. Now the word here translated distress or trouble in the King James is Strong's number 6869, and Dr. Strong defines it as the feminine gender of number 6862. Now I find that interesting. As we note the context of verses 6 and 7, the prophet is comparing the distress that has been upon the Jew ever since favor was due to return to the Jew or to Jacob, beginning in 1878. The distress is being compared to childbirth, as is associated with a woman giving birth. And so the female gender of this Hebrew word, translated trouble, distress, is used. In a natural birth, the contractions become more and more frequent and often more severe as birth approaches. And we think, what an appropriate illustration of what has been happening to the Jew, and especially since 1948. When they again became the nation of Israel. From 70 A.D. to 1948, the land of Israel was ruled by foreign governments and never by the people which lived in it. They were also dispersed throughout the world until 1878, saw a turning point in their history when the Jews from Jerusalem founded the first new village in the land, Petah Tikva. It was also the year that 1845 years of disfavor ended after the Jew had 1845 years of favor. A coincidence? We think not. Continuing with Jeremiah's prophecy, alas, for that day is great, and there is none like it. none like it. A time of trouble, such as the world has never seen before, is also associated along with this final distress upon Israel. And it is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved from it. Jacob, or Israel, will not be eliminated from the face of this earth. They will not be driven into the sea as the Arab nations have threatened they would do. But in the words of the prophet Zechariah, Zechariah 14:3, then will the Lord go forth and fight against these nations as on the day when he fought on the day of battle. And that's a Leiser translation. The end of Jacob's trouble will also see the end of the blindness that has been upon Israel. They will then recognize their Messiah as being the one whom they pierced. Now, coming back to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verses 4 to 11 is a complete thought on Jacob's trouble. Verse 11 reads, "For I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you, for I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. Only I will not destroy you completely, but I will chasten you justly and will by no means leave you unpunished." We noted in Brother Megason's notes, he had a comment on this verse, "The same time of trouble which will result in the national resurrection of Israel will mean the death of all other nations." In other words, the judgment of the nations will be complete. And now, Christ, head and body, these are those that have overcome, which our Lord will grant to be with him in his throne. So the Christ, our Lord, and the overcoming class, the 144,000, 144,001 complete, the Christ, Zion, can begin the judgment of the peoples of the world, beginning, as we mentioned before, first with Israel, working through the then resurrected ancient worthies and eventually to the whole world, as the prophets of Isaiah and Michael and Micah have written. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:3, and it's also the same words of Micah, the fourth chapter, the second verse. Isaiah tells us that this will take place in the last days, the last days of this present evil world, the last days of the second dispensation that we have looked at on our chart of the ages for many years. We have already shown that these last days will see the completion and the resurrection of the little flock to the spirit realm, and the completion of the great tribulation spoken of by our Lord in Matthew 24:21, the completion of Jacob's trouble, and then Isaiah says in the second verse of chapter 2, this is Isaiah, the second chapter, the second verse, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain, the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." Now that should be easy to understand. The Lord's kingdom would be over all the superpowers, nations as we know them today. and this kingdom, it shall be exalted above the hills. And again, hills, they're smaller mountains, you might say. They're smaller governments. And all nations, Isaiah says, and all nations shall flow into it. Not immediately, but during the mediatorial reign. The third verse. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain, the kingdom of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now this doesn't sound much like a 24-hour period of time, does it? Doesn't sound much like people lining up before the great white throne to receive their judgment of all their past sins and accomplishments of their present life, does it? No, no indeed. Teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. And the fourth verse tells us of the judgments among the nations and rebuking or reproving many peoples. Also, the biggest disarmament program the world has ever seen will go into effect. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. This is the only way that the prophet could describe. It's still a method, as it was brought out yesterday, that the prophet couldn't visualize the terrible methods and machines of destruction that exist today. But the thought is still there, isn't it? They will hammer their swords into plowshares, profitable implements to help mankind. And never again will they learn war. This is the natural expected first work of the judgment that will be in effect, first with the nation of Israel, and later to the peoples of the world as they come to recognize the blessings being received by the nation of Israel. But you say, well, what do we do with the parable that our Lord gave concerning the sheep and the goats in the description of the last judgment? Well, again, there's really no problem if you apply the proper time frame to it. Our nominal Christian friends want to put the final judgment at the beginning of our Lord's return, which they believe to be in the near imminent future, and then judge the people, including the saints and the dead and the living, according to the works of their present or past life. And we see here another deception of the adversary, a half-truth. The only current judging or judgments are upon the consecrated children of God, those who have made a covenant with the Lord, those who have become spirit begotten in this gospel age. A covenant that has been made to be dead with Christ. These have given up all their earthly hopes, their aims, their ambitions to be footstep followers of the Master. These are the only ones at this time who are on trial for life, not the world of mankind. Note our Lord's words when he spoke the parable of the sheep and the goats. We find this in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25, the 31st verse. when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The holy angels, of course, the little flock. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Colossians in the third chapter of Colossians, the fourth verse, Colossians 3:4, says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now, this the word appear in the Greek means to be seen. And the Revised Standard Version and the New American Standard Version, it's translated revealed. The Diaglot translates the word manifested. I prefer manifested because it relates better with the thought of when the kingdom is made manifest, evident, or obvious. Now I'll read this verse using the Diaglot translation, Colossians 3:4. When the Anointed One, our life, shall be manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. It will be the mediatorial reign or phase of the kingdom, the church, head and body, now complete in glory, which will bring resurrection to the world by judgment. That which our Lord spoke of in John the 5th chapter, 28-29, John 5:28-29, when our Lord said, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of or by judgment. Who only can be referred to by those who did the good deeds that would receive a resurrection, a standing up to life at the time of our Lord, that our Lord is speaking of? I believe that only three groups fall into this category. The church, of course, the great company on the spirit plane, and the ancient worthies, perfect human beings on the earthly plane. Now this leaves the rest, the remainder of the world, because they do not have a covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father, and they need a mediator. The Christ complete, head and body, to mediate and bring them into covenant relationship if they will accept the conditions of the judgments then in effect, which will accomplish their resurrection. All will have at least 100 years of trial to make progress up the highway of holiness. If no progress is made, then we believe the scripture of Isaiah 65:20 is applicable. Again, we would like to read this scripture from the Leiser translation. Isaiah 65:20. There shall no more be fence an infant of a few days, nor an old man that shall not have the full length of his days. For as a lad shall one die 100 years old, and as a sinner shall be accursed, he who dieth at 100 years old. Now coming back to our Lord's words in Matthew concerning the last judgment, Matthew 25:31-46, the parable of the sheep and the goats, verse 32, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here we see the resurrection complete, the final test. Now before us is the eighth day, the kingdom of the Father, the children of the world resurrected, now have the inheritance of the earth, which Adam had in the beginning. It will take the entire period of the mediatorial reign to accomplish this judgment work, the separating of the sheep and the goats. Remember in the prophecy of Isaiah, the second chapter, that the people, the nations, will want to be taught. The willing will be educated with the knowledge of God and of righteousness. Now, as in a good school system today, students are encouraged and helped. The world, as they are awakened out of the sleep of death, will also need this kind of help. And we believe that prayer will play a very important part in the awakening. From the nucleus of those alive at the time of the manifestation of the mediatorial phase of Christ's kingdom in Israel, the education process will begin. As we mentioned earlier, Brother Russell suggested that it would probably take 50 to 100 years of this education process to bring the inhabitants of the earth, those that would be alive at that time, to a sufficient knowledge of the truth, that they will agree to the terms and conditions of Christ's kingdom and be ready to pray for and receive and help their beloved ones as they are awakened from the prison house of death. They would be then ready to help educate them. They would be the first contact to break the shock of the to the awakened one, to witness to them the beauties of the kingdom then in effect. To be sure, there will be many who will not like what they hear, even as there's many don't like what we have to say to them either concerning the plan of God. It will take time. It will take patience and understanding and sympathy. And to be sure, the sympathetic high priests of the Christ will have an important role in directing this process, operating from the spirit plane, of helping the world of mankind up the highway of holiness. It is sufficient to say that the mechanics of the operation of the kingdom will be perfect in all respects, and it will be a wonder to behold, quite a contrast from the present evil world. Righteousness will then reign, then justice and judgment will be instantaneous, no plea bargaining, no, but they will be assured of a minimum of 100 years of trial to conform willingly and willingly accept the kingdom arrangements. This 100-year trial, of course, precedes the final trial at the end of the millennial age with the completion of the separation of the sheep class from the goats, the goat class. The sheep class will be all those throughout this mediatorial phase of the kingdom will be those who have developed the spirit of love, who have the spirit of God and will be glad and willing to help others to be reconciled to God. It is to this class that the king, the judge said in Matthew 25:35 and 36, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. We believe this to be symbolic language. Otherwise, we cannot harmonize the thoughts. Our Lord is not speaking of himself personally, but as those who, coming out of the grave, will be hungry for the word of the Lord. It's much like the prophecy of Amos 8:11 that spoke, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord." Now, we recall that history shows or records that this happened between 539 A.D. and 1799. 1260 years of papal supremacy. But in the awakening, the sheep class will have the opportunity to feed these hungry ones with living water and the solid food of the kingdom, which will be in ample supply. But some will need help in feeding upon the word of the Lord, and so it is. The sheep class will be those who will feed, who will clothe and help these who have been released out of the prison house of death. The Lord will be taking note of those who are unselfishly going about ministering to these returned ones, helping to clothe their nakedness with the merit of Christ. On the other hand is the goat class, the takers, taking all the advantages of the kingdom for their own selfish use, not wanting to get involved with helping others. There's enough help around here without me getting involved. Not really interested in the things of God. A selfish attitude, which is the attitude of today. If this attitude persists in this mediatorial phase of the kingdom, the judgment will be with the goat class and eternal death, the second death, which is also the sentence upon Satan, who also has this spirit of selfishness. We would like to close with a quote from the pastor's article. It's reprint 5530, regarding the application of this parable. And I quote, "Those in the parable are such as have accepted Christ's terms and desire to be on judgment or on trial for everlasting life. This will include all in their graves who, the Master tells us, will come forth not all at once, but gradually. Messiah's kingdom will exercise its power and disseminate the knowledge of God and of righteousness with a view to encouraging, helping, and uplifting all the willing and obedient. All such may rise more and more out of sin and death conditions, out of imperfection of mind and body, and out of immoral conduct to the full image of God as possessed by Father Adam in the beginning. It will be the work of the entire millennial age to bring this about. Righteousness will reign then as sin reigns now. That is to say, it will be in control in the ascendancy, and whosoever will sin then will suffer promptly. Hence all the nations will be avoiding sin. Then the world in general will be a grand place where nothing shall hurt or destroy, where the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, where the curse shall be gradually rolled away, and there shall be no more crying, no more sighing, no more dying, and where the blessing of God, bringing perfection, will prevail. Oh, happy day, we exclaim, and surely it will be such for all who live through those 1,000 years will have a great blessing. May the Lord help us to be found overcomers, that we may sit with our Lord on that judgment throne.
Thank you, Brother Allen. We appreciate the message that you brought to us in regard to the world's judgment, the resurrection day, and the resurrection processes under the direction